When you need to make plans, God is the perfect life planner. When you need to be rescued, Jesus brings perfect relief. When you need to know more, God's Spirit is the perfect teacher. WIAM 101.1 FM, The Way.
Current events.
Personal values.
Political and social issues.
Technology.
Wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in to Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, June 14th, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for taking some time out of your day, whether you're listening live right now Friday afternoon or you're listening to episode 82, which is the podcast of this episode that will be posted later today. We thank you for staying with us, and we do hope that letters, as you listen, that you will share this program with family and friends, because the news and God's Word are both the timely in terms of God speaks to the things that are happening in our world today, even though it was written long ago. So, Pastor Mark, it is a beautiful day outside. I think there's something in the Bible about being able to take the day off on days like this.
I was searching for
the scripture verse.
Yeah,
but
I don't know of a, you know, we could probably bend anything to mean that if you tried hard enough.
You could twist the scriptures.
Today is a temptation, but this is it. You know, as a Christian, you can't call in sick if you're not, you're lying.
Yeah.
And before God, you're in trouble. So the Christians have a hard time on this one, but everybody else, you can call in and lie, and I'm not promoting that.
No, you're
not. That's not a good thing.
No,
but,
you're not.
But if you're a Christian and you do it, then God's going to spank you.
Yes, he is.
he spanks his kids.
He does. You know, this is very, very interesting. On this day, in 1913, the postmaster officially decreed that children could no longer be sent through the U.S. mail.
Wow.
So you could actually, there was a time when you could mail your kids.
Hmm.
In case it was 15 cents. And I Googled this because I'm like, is this for real?
So if it's your daughter, it's female?
It's, oh, I like that. Female, yes. Okay. Had to find the rim shot there. In the early days of the parcel post, some parents took advantage of the mail in unexpected ways because the rules were just so ambiguous that they took advantage of that.
I mean, how would you do that?
I don't, like, you put a stamp on their forehead?
You had to put them in a box, I guess.
I don't know.
How do
you send your kids? It began, a Ohio couple named Jesse and Matilda Beagle mailed their 8-month-old son James to his grandmother, who lived just a few miles away in Batavia. According to Lynch, baby James was just shy of the 11-pound weight limit for packages sent via parcel post, and his quote-unquote delivery cost his parents only 15 cents in postage. Although they did insure him for $50. Anyway, the post office finally figured out, hey, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
So we need to put an end to this.
Yeah, let's not be mailing our children.
Let's not be mailing our children.
Yeah, some of you may want to. Don't do it.
Yes.
A good thing it's against the law.
So don't mail it in.
There you go.
Anyway. All right. So let's get in. There's lots of things on your heart for this first half hour. And again, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, timely as today's headlines.
Yeah, really. And I wanted to have just a little discussion. There's a couple of issues I want to cover here in the first half. First of all, a little discussion about just kind of giving us a temperature of what's going on in the Middle East before we jump into the articles, because I think the foundational temperature is always important. And secondly, talk about a homegrown story here about a Knox County sheriff and a sermon maybe some of you had heard, and we'll talk about that as we get to it. But let's start with the Middle East. You know, as always, we're watching for this war between Iran and Russia and Israel. That's one of the next big major prophetic events. We don't know how long it's going to be, but we know we're marching toward it. It's going to happen. So we need to kind of keep an eye on what's going on over there and what the heartbeat is. And I find it interesting, kind of the pressure that's being turned up. You know, we've talked about it like a pressure cooker before. You know, once you reach a certain amount of pressure, things burst. And I've been watching the pressure build in the Middle East. I don't know that we're there yet. We'll know when we're there because they're going to move. But it's interesting to watch how the pressure is building. And I didn't think it would build this way. I didn't know how it would happen. But right now, at this point, pressure in the Middle East on these nations that will be involved in this invasion in Israel, pressure is building due to economics. And, you know, it's one thing when you are trying to pay your bills and you're a little bit behind and you're worried, but when you can't eat and you don't have a place to stay, suddenly things get really, really serious and drastic very fast. And that's what's happening in the Middle East. And let me explain what's going on. Now, for a while, we've been watching, you know, the five major players. There's going to be more, but the five major players in this battle are going to be Libya, Sudan, Russia, Iran, and Turkey. And these five are mentioned very specifically as major players coming in against Israel and all they're going to be
in Ezekiel.
Yeah, in Ezekiel, in the battle that's coming soon. One of the next prophetic things to happen, Ezekiel 38 and 39, if you're new listeners or whatever. But, you know, all of them are first of all, Libya and Ethiopia. I mean, Libya and Sudan are African nations in the African continent that aren't doing very well anyway. They've never been necessarily prosperous. Libya, you know, is not prosperous. Sudan is going down financially. Turkey is talking about their collapse financially. They're having some very serious economic problems. Russia has been going down financially because they've been pouring their resources into the military. And then they used a lot of their resources to go into Syria to help you know, Iran and Syria with what's going on there on the border. They've spent lots of money expecting to get money back from the oil in that area, and they've not gotten it so far. And now there are questions as to whether or not they ever will, which means basically Syria doesn't have the money to pay them back and probably won't. And on top of that, so that has added to their economic stress, if you will. On top of that, being a nation that over 60% of their economy is based on oil and gas, they're hurting in that area because other nations are now becoming more competitive. For one, Israel, with their major natural gas find out of the ocean and their major oil find on the Golan. I don't know that they're extracting oil yet on the Golan. They may be. I don't know that they are. But they're certainly starting to extract now the natural gas out of the Mediterranean. And that's going to be going into Europe, which is going to be pulling away from the province of Russia because Russia pretty much owns Europe when it comes to natural gas. They're the main players there. So you're seeing them going down financially. At the same time, tensions building with Israel on that. And then Iran, look what America's doing to Iran. You know, you wonder, what really spurred this, Greg, and I mentioned this to you before we started, was watching these tankers blow up. I had read that they had torpedoed a tanker, and they probably still did if the article was accurate, but they also used mines on them. They stuck mines to the side of them, and one of the ways they knew that it was Iran, this is, you know, we have surveillance planes with great cameras all times of the day, and they saw something black on the side of one of the tankers that had blown up, and they zoomed in. It's a mine. And then they saw this Iranian ship come up and get it and take it off because apparently it didn't detonate. And so they got it so that nobody would know that it was them, right? So we're filming Iran come to take their mine off of this thing they've blown up. And, of course, they're on the news saying, it wasn't us. We didn't do this. Well, now we see visual evidence that they did do it. And I was thinking as I watched that video today, I watched part of it, I think, what did they take it off? And I'd be nervous. They had that boat full of people. And I'm thinking, what if it goes off now? You know, I don't know what it takes to detonate one of those things. I mean, but the bottom line is, why are they blowing these tankers up? That's a bold move. I mean, to go to a third of the world's oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz and that whole area. And for them to be blowing up ships and our military over there in power like we are, the force of our aircraft carriers and all, and learning more about what that means when you taught me that, being ex-military, I had no idea that it came with all these underwater submarines, of course. I expected above water submarines. No, I mean, all these submarines and all these. I didn't realize all that came with it. And it literally is a full army in and of itself right there. And so we've got this major armament over there. They're blowing up oil tankers that supply the world with oil. That hurts us. We can't let that happen. They know that. Why would they be so bold to blow up six oil tankers in the last couple of months? Here's why. They're desperate. You know, we talked about if you've got something, if you can, if
the sanctions are working.
If you, it's one thing to say I'm hurting on my bills. It's another thing to say, kids, we can't eat tonight. When that happens, everything changes. I mean, everything changes. So they're in a place now to where they're so financially collapsing. I think that at their peak, they had something like $60 billion worth of oil they were getting on a regular basis. I forget if that was...
You mean in sales of their oil?
Yes, and I forget the... You know, don't have that number in front of me, but it's, they had a, it was a massive amount of income they had. And it's down to something like $5 or $6 billion compared to that. I mean, it's like dropped to almost nothing compared to what it was. They don't have a lot of self-generating revenue in Iran. They're not a real industrious nation.
Exports the big thing. Exporting the oil. Yeah.
So what you've got is a desperate nation in Iran. So desperate they're blowing up tankers in the Gulf with Americans' power there. Then you've got Russia, who's hurting, and everybody knows they're hurting. They're not going to say it, but they're hurting hugely. You've got Turkey. Their money's about to totally collapse. And like I said, Sudan and Ethiopia and Libya have never been in great shape, and so and they're going down as well. I look at these five major players. Why am I saying all that? Because it may very well be that this is part of that as the pressure builds. We got to do something. I mean, you reach a point to where, you know, when they would lay sieges to the ancient cities, they'd put their army around your city for sometimes 2 to 3 years if you didn't surrender, and they starved you out. And, you know, when you got to the point to where, okay, we either sit here and all die of starvation or we make a run for it. They would make a run for it. They would try to fight their way through the enemy lines, and they'd be weak, and they'd get wiped out, and they're done. This is almost like America has laid siege on Iran, surrounded them. All these other nations are going down as well, and at some point, they're going to need to rush the enemy lines, and this may be kind of the first rumbling. So I find this to be fairly significant as far as the heartbeat of the Middle East, and that'll kind of lay the groundwork for stuff we look at in the second half. But very interesting in a lot of what's happening over there. Keep your eye on that. Watch the tensions because the world didn't pay that much attention. The world doesn't really make a big deal about the fact that Iran's suffering financially or that Russia's suffering financially or Turkey. You don't really hear about it, but it's a big deal.
Well, it's the big deal is the fact that the news might cover that in the business pages or the financial pages.
Right.
But what you're doing for us, Pastor Mark, is that you're taking the struggles of these particular nations that are happening at the same time and quote unquote coincidentally,
yeah,
these are the countries that are mentioned prophetically in Ezekiel,
yeah,
that come against the nation of Israel.
That's right.
And with Russia and its famous words, or not its famous words, but the famous retort to Russia coming in,
yeah,
prophetically from the other countries that are sitting on their hands and not helping, asking Russia, why are you coming in? Are you coming to take the booty, to take the treasure,
right, Gog,
to take the prize?
Yeah.
Exactly, which we know you've already talked about, which is the natural gas and the oil reserves.
It
would appear that Israel is sitting on.
Yeah.
So the financial news of their economic woes that all are experiencing at the same time is extremely prophetic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that could be part of the catalyst that causes them to unite,
right,
to come against Israel,
yeah,
and get what they need to survive. It's almost like busting into the kitchen pantry.
You're exactly right.
To get the food.
And remember, they're wanting to get paid by gas and
yes,
oil. That's
exactly
why they went to Syria.
Yeah.
They're expecting to get paid in gas and oil. Well,
yes,
that's what they can get in Israel.
Yeah, gas and oil.
Bingo. It's like, you know what? I couldn't get it here, but I'll get it here.
Yeah.
But of course, there has to be the right climate because America kind of has to be in some way neutralized or not as involved,
right,
or something.
I mean, there's got to be a climate change.
There really
I guess
does. I don't know. Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
But I don't know what that's going to be, whether that means, again, just the some people say the destruction of America or just the dissolving of America. Or I give a third option, a different president that wouldn't make a stand either way.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, and we've talked about this off air, too, and we've talked about it on the show as well as the articles come up. But we know that prophetically, the Antichrist is going to deceive the nations through sorcery, what the Bible says. We know that doing wordsmithing, the word studies, it goes back and it translates to pharmakia. It translates to drugs. Well, he's going to deceive the nations through that. that means he's going to use something that's already in place.
Yeah.
And so we see the rampant drug use.
Yeah.
And not just in the U.S. This is global. Prophecy is a global thing.
That's right.
So this is a global problem. It's not just in the United States, although we've got a big problem in comparison. So you've got a lot of people that are so self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And so drugged out.
Yeah.
That we as a nation collectively cannot, you know, we're kind of like iron and clay a little bit. You know, we're not really adhering well together right now as a nation. So if we've got our own problems going on and we're so distracted because, you know, we've got a majority of the people on some sort of, you know, drug, that they're not paying attention to things that are happening outside of them.
Yeah.
Well, then how easy is that going to be
for
something to happen halfway around the world that you're not even, you know, paying any attention
to
versus your backyard? So, and I'm not saying that that's the, I'm saying that could be part of what goes into, and like you said, we could have a president that's not going to, you know, do anything about it, or maybe has a preterist view and figures, well, God's done with the nation of Israel anyway, so, you know, good for them.
Right. Right. No, you're exactly right. And again, I have no doubt that we're going to see that the drug problem is going to have a play really in the sway of the enemy of the, over
yeah,
the whole world.
Over the
and
whole
that's
world,
going to
yeah.
be a part of it as well. So anyway,
yeah.
that's something to keep your eyes on.
Absolutely.
Watch what's going on. Watch that continual pressure cooker build and let's see what happens. Is this going to, you never know which one could be it. Is this going to be the one that's going to keep going? Will America strike Iran because of this? And then will Iran get mad and do something more and then pull Russia into it? See, any of these could be a catalyst to the battle. So I want to make sure our listeners are aware. But again, at the same time, it doesn't mean it's about to happen, but you need to be aware of what's going on.
Yep, absolutely.
So I want to shift gears now.
Okay.
Because the clock's ticking, and I want to have plenty of time to discuss
okay.
this next issue
yes.
as well. And maybe you heard, I would assume that everyone in this area heard, but I know that's not true. I found out today that's not true, and so I want to tell you what it is because it's a local issue, but it made national news. This was on Fox News. I heard about it on Fox News and then looked at local news to find out what was going on. But, and maybe some of you out there will know this when I say this, but this article says this: Knox County DA is looking into detectives' church sermon calling for the execution of LGBTQ people. Pretty radical. Listen to what this says. The Knox County Attorney General's office said it is looking into a church sermon by a Knox County Sheriff's detective that called for the government to arrest and execute the LGBTQ community members. I would say that's extreme. In the hour-long sermon based on the Old Testament passage, Detective Grayson Fitz, also a pastor of All Scripture Baptist Church in Knoxville, so it's in Knoxville, told his congregation June 2nd that he believes that federal, state, and county governments should arrest, try, convict, and speedily execute people within the LGBT community on no more grounds than a cell phone photo of a person participating in a pride event. Sheriff Tom Spangler issued a statement Wednesday afternoon that the Knoxville News Sentinel first reported about Fritz's sermon, that Fritz had asked 2 weeks ago to take a county buyout offer. Spangler said he agreed, and Fritz is on paid sick leave until July 19th. And I quote, "I want to be very clear, this is my responsibility to ensure equal protection to all citizens of Knox County, Tennessee, under the law, my oath, and the United States Constitution, without discrimination or hesitation. Rest assured that I will... I have and will continue to do so." So the Knox County Attorney General, Sharm Allen, said Tuesday the Attorney General's office knows about the matter and will respond accordingly. I'll finish up this last little part here. He says, "As district attorney, I've dedicated my career to the belief in justice, that it's blind and that all people are equal under the law," et cetera. It goes on, talks about it. So, you know, don't have to read every aspect of it. The last part here, Fritz referenced his law enforcement career multiple times during a sermon, first telling the congregation such arrests and executions should be carried out by the government, not Christians. Pausing for laughter, as he added, "unless you're a policeman." And he goes on, et cetera. And so here's my thing. Why am I bringing this up? Not necessarily to point this gentleman out and what's going on with him and all that, but to have an honest discussion about this from a Christian perspective, because, again, if you read the Bible does say there are certain things we're to be put to death for. Adultery is one of them. If you, adultery, the Bible says in the Old Testament, you're to be put to death. And there's a list of things to be put to death for, and then other sentences for other things. And so the problem that people like this run into is that the bottom line is that God said the price had to be paid. When Jesus went to the cross, the price was paid. And so now we as believers and those who follow the Lord and look to the scripture, because Jesus, it says in Matthew chapter 5, fulfilled all the law, then you don't, people aren't put to death for adultery. People aren't put to death for sexual sin. They're not put to death. Now, these things are still sinful before God, but they're not things that are to be put to death for. And, you know, we see the whole example even before the cross, getting ready for it, you know, and you brought up a couple of words. You said what, delayed or deferred is the words you used, right?
Yeah, you're,
for judgment.
Your sin is still accountable before God. It's either going to get deferred to the cross or delayed until your death.
There you go.
Somebody's
going to pay for it.
Someone's going to pay for it.
Jesus will pay for it on the cross, or you will later one day when you stand before God.
Yep.
But it's been deferred. And we talked about, again, you know, Greg and I talked before the show began about the woman caught in adultery. The law said, and he hadn't even gone to the cross yet. And the law was, if you're caught in adultery, you're to be put to death. And that's how serious God, you know, takes the commitment between a man and a woman and sin before God and all that. But Jesus said, no, we're not going to do that. Go and sin no more. And why? Because he knew the cross was coming, and he gave her that choice. If you turn from this, if you repent, you won't face that judgment. It'll be deferred to the cross. And so what is lacking in this understanding of this particular man is that Jesus is the one who paid for all this. Nobody's to be rounded up and put to death. Jesus was rounded up and Jesus was put to death. And because Jesus died on the cross, everything is deferred to the cross. And if somebody doesn't repent of their sin and receive Christ, then on judgment day, when God gathers all the nations of the earth before him, it says in Revelation, at that time, God will carry out his judgments of what he's going to do for each and every sin of those that have not been to the cross. But the reason there's a number of reasons I bring this up. One is that, first of all, what is our response as a believer to anyone in the LGBTQ community, or that's an adulterer, or that's a thief, or that's a liar, or that's a robber, any sin that someone does? What is the church's, you know, what is the church called to do? Love them. Love them. There's two things. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. We don't kill them. We love them. We tell them of Jesus' love for them, and we tell them that he died on the cross for them. And if they confess their sin and repent, they'll never face any judgment for it. It'll be gone. It's cleansed, and they're going to be in the kingdom of God. We talked about, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Manasseh. In our Wednesday night study, and the fact that Manasseh was one of the worst, you know, mass killers in history, you know, as far as stuff he did. And yet the Bible says he repented at the end, and Manasseh will be in the kingdom of God.
Amazing.
So the same thing as applies, whatever our sin is, you know, even murder, whatever it is, it's deferred to the cross. And so our job as believers is to show Jesus's love to everyone, regardless of their sin, to show that love, but then to speak the truth and say, now, even as he said to the woman caught in adultery, now, okay, there's grace for this, but go and sin no more. We would say, you need to repent. You need to turn from it, stop doing it. So whatever the sin is, you turn from it and you stop doing it, and that's the proper response. And so, again, I don't know whether or not this particular man doesn't really know the Lord, whether or not he's had an intimate relationship with the Lord, whether it's a lack of understanding of the Bible and the cross. I don't know, but he was wrong, quite obviously, and that's not how we're to react as believers.
You know, I think, Pastor Mark, I think you hit on it, and it's really the latter. I don't think they're taking in all of God's word.
Yeah, I would agree.
And taking it in exegetically. Yeah. And you know, you don't need a theology degree to do that.
Right.
You don't need to have a doctorate in anything. You just need to be able to go line by line and verse by verse from Genesis to Revelation. And take in all of God's word. God gives us the complete picture and the complete answer to anything that we're dealing with, whether it's directly or in principle, whatever our situation is. And the other thing too, and we talk about it here at the church, and that is a philosophy of ministry of grace upon grace. You know, we use the analogy of the traffic accident, and two people show up to a traffic accident, the cop and the paramedic.
Right.
The cop's there to put up a safety barrier, conduct an investigation, write a ticket, or incarcerate the guilty.
Right.
The paramedics show up. They could care less who's at fault.
Right.
They're just there to find out who needs help, get them stabilized, get them further assistance.
Stop the bleeding and help them,
We err on the side of the paramedic.
That's right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Our job, you know, even some, that's a great analogy, because you think about these guys that run from the cops, they get in an accident, they get hurt, the paramedics fix them, the cops run them to jail. We're not, we don't stand there and have the trial right there.
Right.
They're going to stand before a judge.
Right.
And they're going to do that. But now I want to cover another quick topic before we run out of time, because the question came up about this. And I think there, if this question came up with this person, there's others that have it. And that is this. All right, Mark, if that's the case, then doesn't that nullify everything that, you know, everything else in the Old Testament? No. Understand this. The law only encompasses about three books of the Bible. The rest of it is prophecy and psalms and songs. So there's a very small portion of the Bible that makes up the law. 2.5 to 3 books. That's it. So if you want to take those 2.5 to 3 out, you could, but that would be a mistake, because it still teaches solid truth in those. It's just not to be applied because of the cross. But with that said, I had the question, well, then what about the death penalty? Because there's a whole argument about the death penalty. And so now that Jesus went to the cross, so maybe we shouldn't even have the death penalty. No, this is very different. The death penalty has nothing to do with the law. And let me explain. The death penalty was given outside of the law and long before the law. Mark, what are you talking about? Well, in Genesis, after God flooded the earth and reestablished mankind, hundreds of years before the law was given, God told Noah and his family this as he was reestablishing mankind on the earth. Chapter 9, verse 5 of Genesis, "Surely for life blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of every man. For the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." Here's why. For in the image of God he was made. That's why he's made in God's image. "And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly on the earth and multiply in it." So the death penalty is something that came long before the law. So it stands on its own outside of the law. Nothing was nullified. That what happened in Genesis 9 was not nullified by the cross. What happened in the law was nullified, not even nullified, it's not the word, it was fulfilled. It was fulfilled by Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, but yeah, Mark, it talks though about the death penalty in the law. Yes, it does. God includes what his foundational establishment for the earth is in the law. But don't be confused with things that were established outside of the law and have nothing to do with the cross as compared to those things that are within the law and do have to do with the cross. And I also want to make this point as well. Just because it's the law and it's been fulfilled doesn't mean that it's bad. Jesus himself said, Paul said this, the law is good if it's used lawfully. So the law is not something that we're to simply ignore in the sense of there's no value to it in principles that it teaches. And there's moral law and civil law, which is a whole different discussion.
Right, right.
Our nation is based on the civil law of the Bible and the moral law of the Bible in many ways, our Constitution. So there are some, it's all good if it's dealt with the right way in light of Scripture and the cross. What I want to make, so don't throw the law out. Just realize the law has been fulfilled. You can't get to God by obeying it and by doing works. And we're not supposed to be killing people and doing all these things. We'd be loving people. It's like when James and John went to Samaria and they wouldn't accept Jesus. And they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn these guys?"
Yeah.
You know? He said, "You don't know what spirit you're of.
Yeah.
This is not my spirit. This is the enemy's spirit. You love them. You let me deal with what's going on in their hearts, and then we'll sort it all out on Judgment Day." So again, I hope this gives a balance. If you've heard about it, if you didn't hear about it, it was a good opportunity to discuss the issue and give balance to it. I think there's probably many of us right now listening that if we were still by the Old Testament law, we would all be put to death. So let's not be judging each other in that way. Let's be loving each other and pointing to the cross and teaching forgiveness through Jesus, leading people to the cross, but also to be warning people, if you don't turn to the cross, there will be a day you will stand in judgment before God. And that's an eternal judgment. Even as Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, "Go and sin no more." That is, if you believe in me and the cross, you'll be forgiven, but you've got to leave your sin behind or it will one day be judged. So it's a beautiful balance, a seriousness of our sin and the grace and mercy and beauty and love of our Lord. And so, I think that's very, I think it's educational. And if that comes up, now you know how to answer it.
We have been forgiven much.
Absolutely.
So we need to love much.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to get into some articles that really kind of pertain to some of the things that we've talked about in this first half hour, as well as getting into a lot of pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption stories as the prophecy plates keep spinning on the sticks as Signs of the Times continues. But don't go anywhere.
America's Israel in the News is up next.
WIAM-LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. The Israeli Air Force struck Palestinian targets in the Gaza Strip early Thursday morning, shortly after the Iron Dome system intercepted a missile launched into southern Israel. According to the Times of Israel, the rocket triggered sirens in the Eshkol region, with residents hearing sounds of explosions, though no injuries were reported. Then later in the day, a second rocket fired from Gaza struck a Jewish school in the southern town of Sderot, causing damage but no injuries. Just one day earlier, on Wednesday, the Times of Israel reports that a balloon carrying explosives was launched into Israeli territory, detonating but thankfully causing no injuries. The attack came alongside scores of other balloon-borne explosives launched into Israel from Gaza, following an unofficial ceasefire agreement brokered between Israel and terror groups in the coastal enclave last month. A pair of oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman were attacked on Thursday. The U.S. State Department believes they know who is responsible. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson has the details from the Pentagon.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo blamed Iran for carrying out the brazen attacks on two oil tankers outside the Strait of Hormuz.
This assessment is based on intelligence, the weapons used, the level of expertise needed to execute the operation.
U.S. Central Command says an American warship found an unexploded mine attached to one of the tankers, which caught fire after leaving the United Arab Emirates. 21 sailors rescued from one tanker are now on board USS Bainbridge after they abandoned ship.
Japan's prime minister is in Tehran to try to calm down the escalating rhetoric. Both tankers were carrying Japanese petroleum products when they were attacked. Meanwhile, earlier in the week, Iran issuing a warning against its adversaries with a specific emphasis on the U.S.
Iran's foreign minister Mohammad Zarif called out the United States for, quote, economic war, saying the U.S. cannot expect to stay safe amid their recent actions against Iran. The participating parties in the Iran nuclear deal face a July 7th deadline to find a way for the Iranian regime to get around the new U.S. sanctions. In a briefing Monday, State Department spokeswoman Morgan Ortegas said it's important for the international community to hold Iran accountable. In Jerusalem, Trey Yingst, Fox News.
In response to Mohammed Zarif's comments condemning the U.S. for tensions in the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu released a video statement on Monday.
Zarif is lying again. Iran is the one that openly threatens every day to destroy the state of Israel. Iran continues to entrench itself militarily in Syria.
This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Visit israelinthenews.org to see how you can help Israel's most vulnerable population, the elderly. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, June 14th, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for staying with us. Don't forget our website. It's thesigns.org for everything related to our program, how you can listen to previous episodes, how you can subscribe to our podcast, how you can read the articles that we discuss and more right on our website, and including sending Pastor Mark a prophecy question, because no doubt, as Pastor Mark even shared in the first half hour, some of what he shared with us was in response to questions that he had personally received throughout the week regarding some of the issues that are going on. And so not everyone can be here in Knoxville and see Pastor Mark in person. So if you've got a prophecy question, we invite you to go to our website, to thescience.org, and see all the different ways that you can send that question to us, and we will answer that question if it's relevant to everyone in our listening audience of Signs of the Times. We will answer that on the air so everyone else can hear the answer in the question as well, because chances are, if you've got the question, other people do too. Israel National News is reporting that Russia is to provide Turkey with S-400 missiles within the next couple of months. So that kicks off our Ezekiel 38 and 39 news for this half hour.
Yeah, the head of Russia's state conglomerate, Rostec Sergei Kemezov, said on Friday that Russia would start delivering S-400 missile systems to Turkey in 2 months, Reuters reported, citing the Interfax news agency. Kemezov added that Russia had finished instructing Turkish specialists on the use of the S-400. The announcement comes amid ongoing tensions between Turkey and the United States over Ankara's decision to buy S-400 missile defenses from Russia. Now, here's why this is important. Washington says the S-400 poses a threat to the Lockheed Martin Corporation F-35 stealth fighters, which Turkey also plans to buy. That is, if we sell them or allow that to be sold.
Yes.
The U.S. also believes the S-400 sale is part of Russian efforts to disrupt the alliance amid Western concern over Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's budgeting relationship with Russia and President Vladimir Putin. Here's the bottom line. The S-400 is one of the most advanced missile systems out there to bring down fighter jets. So Russia's saying we're going to supply, you know, Turkey, which is right next to Syria. And they're all, again, this whole conglomeration, you know, this whole agreement between Russia, Turkey, Syria, Iran, these are all the major players in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 scenario. And they're saying we're going to sell them these S-400s to be able to shoot down planes, some of which would be American and predominantly Israeli. So it is a real threat. It is a real danger. The good news is this. Although it's their most advanced weapon system, so it's two things to point out. The conglomeration of these nations all together, they're in a lot of what's going on prophetically. But the good news on that is Iran has already, I mean, Israel's already smoked them. Israel's already gone in with S-400s, and they've, you know, missed them and gotten around them and done what they needed to do. So Israel can operate around the S-400. But the S-400 just makes it more difficult. It's kind of like, you know I can get through, you know, you're watching sharks swim back and forth and you can see the bottom in a distance far. So when the sharks are gone, you go across real quick and get up there, and you can do that for a long, long time. But one day, if you slip and fall, you know, the point is, it's not a good thing to have the S-400 there.
Well, you know, for what we've studied historically about the technological advances that God just blesses Israel with in discovery.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Israel takes the military aircraft that we sell them and they modify them with technology that they've developed that really helps them do that.
Well, let me tell you already, that is a fact.
Okay.
That's already a known fact. They take our technology and they way update it. They add piles more to it. Every F-35, everything we sell them, they modify it to them and they upgrade it. So don't think that they're going, oh, America, the best technology. We've got the best money, the resources, the companies in place to do it. But those guys have the technology and they can make it better even than we can. Matter of fact, where do you think we got the iPhone? The iPhone comes from Israel. This is iPhone technology. That is from Israel. That we didn't come up with that in America. That's Israeli technology that we bought, purchased, and used for this kind of stuff. So those guys lead the way. Don't kid yourself.
Okay, One World Economy News, and we kind of talked about this on Israel News at the top of the hour. The U.S. Is saying that they are considering further Iranian sanctions, targeting trade with Europe this time.
Yeah, hey, new song. We've added some new stuff in here, so.
No, we've had it for a while, but we just haven't had a lot of One World Economy News.
That's our One World Economy song?
It's one of them.
Wow. Yeah. Kind of feel like we pulled something out of the archives, but that's great. Okay. Sorry, I was so focused on
song. I'm glad you
liked
it.
Monday? Is that what it says? Monday?
Money.
Oh, money. I'm going, why Monday? I don't get the Monday connection. Monday. All right, either way, I'm getting way off target.
Okay.
But they're targeting trade with Europe. That is Iran. Let's get back to the point.
Yes,
the Trump
okay.
administration is reportedly considering sanctions against an Iranian financial body set up to enable humanitarian trade with Europe. Listen, this is ingenious. A measure that would likely end any possibility of European countries maintaining economic and humanitarian trade with Tehran. I'll explain why this is so smart in a moment. The new sanctions would focus on the Special Trade and Finance Institute, which Iran set up to work opposite INSTEX, not insects, but INSTEX, a European system created to enable continued humanitarian trade with Iran despite existing U.S. sanctions. Bloomberg reported Monday. They're not concerned so much about the humanitarians. They are getting other things to them, but that's another story.
Yes.
Britain, France, and Germany have been striving to maintain some level of economic dealings with Iran in order to keep alive the 2015 nuclear pact that has faltered since the U.S. pulled out last year, that Trump pulled out of, and President Trump, and then reimposed sanctions on Iran. A U.S. official said the STFI, that is the agreement, is considered part of Iran's central bank, not the agreement, that's considered part of Iran's central bank, if you will, which is already targeted by U.S. sanctions. So that's who they're targeting. Washington also accuses the bank of not having applied international measures against terrorism terrorism financing and money laundering, noted the official who spoke to Bloomberg on condition of anonymity. European nations had pledged to create the INSTEX mechanism, which would allow Iran to continue to trade for humanitarian goods despite American sanctions, and that's huge. However, that program has yet to really take off, something Iran's foreign ministry spokesman noted Monday, and I quote, "We haven't put much hope into INSTEX," spokesman Abbas Mousavi said, according to the Iranian state television. "If it was going to help us, it would have already done so." Now, why is this important? Let me explain what's going on briefly here. Here's the bottom line. We broke off our agreements with Iran because they were bad agreements that America had made with them, and it was helping Iran to basically
further their nuclear program, not reduce it.
They were absolutely going to develop a nuclear weapon. America was happy because, oh, it's delayed. Yeah, but delayed, it's still going to happen. So President Trump said, no, we're not going to delay it. We're going to stop it. And so he stopped it. And because of their terrorism efforts, put sanctions on them. Then Europe gets together and Europe says, well, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to go around America because we still want to have that deal with them. And we're going to work something through this banking system where they can still funnel their money and get all the things. And of course, they use the words humanitarian aid, but it's really more of just helping them get the money for whatever they want, which will include terrorism. And so America is saying, yeah, you're going to go around us. Okay, then we're going to take the company that you're using to funnel that money to go around us, and we're shutting them down. This is really, really ingenious. It's not about not caring about humanitarian aid or the people of Iran. It's about shutting the lifeline down during this siege so that we can break Iran from trying to destroy everyone else in the world and stop Europe from trying to help them. So, again, I think that's going to produce great fruit and a great strategy by the U.S. government.
Yeah. Okay, the Latter-day smorgasbord of everything yucky is pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Kind of our prophetic potpourri of just bad stuff. And our first article is from FoxNews.com, talking about a 4.0 magnitude earthquake in Lake Erie, rattling northeast Ohio. Of course, the Bible in Matthew 24, Jesus himself tells us that earthquakes will be on the significant increase in the latter days.
Yes, in various places,
he said.
And statistically, they are on a very significant increase. And now we're seeing more in America. In this same article, which we're not going to cover, there was a 6.6 magnitude that hit here yesterday or today off the coast of El Salvador. But here's some of the article.
Yes.
It says residents of the Buckeye State got an extra jolt to their Monday morning when an earthquake rattled parts of the state, overwhelming some 9/11 dispatch centers. The United States Geological Survey said the 4.0 magnitude earthquake was centered in Lake Erie, about 2.5 miles north of East Lake, Ohio, at 10:50 a.m. The quake had a shallow depth of about 3 miles. That seems deep to me, but shallow, I guess, comparative to other earthquakes. And was felt by people across the region in cities such as Mentor and Cleveland. There were no reports of damage or injuries from the quake. So this is simply just, hey, keep on your spiritual glasses when it comes to earthquakes. Part of these contractions we're going to see, part of the end times gurgling of the earth, there are going to be more earthquakes, larger earthquakes, more frequent earthquakes in various places. And now we had this eerie earthquake. Very eerie.
I knew that was coming.
Lake Erie. Anyway, okay.
Did you say gurgling or gargling?
I don't remember. Probably gurgling.
Do you gurgle that?
Yeah, you don't gargle it. Okay. I know that. So, I mean, maybe neither of them work, but you certainly don't gargle what's going on within the earth, getting ready for the second coming. That would not be good. But either way, keep your eye on that. It is definitely a sign of the time to see these earthquakes popping up more frequently and in larger. Here in America, in larger ways, we typically think of California as an earthquake country.
Exactly.
It's happening everywhere, and we've had them here in Tennessee. So that's something to be watching for more and more of.
Yeah. You know, and we've talked about it on the show before. You know, the God designed the earth in advance that a lot of these prophetic events that are talked about in Scripture in terms of what's going to physically happen to the earth.
Right.
A lot of them are predefined or preset. It's like having a theater stage with all of the, you know, fake floors and things that move and, you know, move around to present the play.
Right.
Well, the earth is set up like that physically.
Yep.
For a lot of the things that God's word says is going to happen prophetically. So that's just part of it.
Yep.
All right. NationalGeographic.com. Is giving us some updated statistics to the world's second biggest Ebola outbreak because it is still raging.
Yeah, and this is so bad. You know, I know it's on the other side of the world. We don't think about it much, but if this made it to America, listen, when you get Ebola, there's a really good chance you're just going to die. They can rescue you, but I mean, it is really bad. Despite a coordinated response and a vaccine, the Democratic Republic of the Congo's struggle with the deadly virus seems to have no quick end in sight. An Ebola epidemic thundering through the heavily populated provinces in the northeastern Democratic Republic of the Congo has sickened 1,877 people and killed 1,248 as of May 22nd, according to the World Health Organization. Despite the efforts of specialist medical teams, an effective vaccine, and new treatments that are being tested in the region. Now, remember, again, Jesus said you'll see new diseases, plagues, if you will, are going to rise up and be on the increase in the last days. So that's why this is appropriate. The outbreak is already the second largest on record behind the epidemic that burned through West Africa from 2014 to 2016, killing more than 11,300 people. You may remember that one because somebody from the Franklin Graham, Billy Graham Association got that and Kate was brought home and actually lived. It's in the most extreme form, a viral hemorrhagic fever leads to uncontrollable bleeding and death. In this outbreak, the virus appears to be affecting, as usually, a high number of children and killing a large percentage of people before they've sought or received treatment in Ebola centers staffed by the local and international aid workers. Teams are trying to track the spread of the disease and find fresh cases with no obvious connection to previous patients, leading some, look at that, no obvious connection to previous patients. New ones are popping up, leading some health specialists to worry that an end of this epidemic is nowhere in sight. Greg, this article we don't have in here, but in relation to this, the first cases of Ebola now spread into Uganda this last week, right after our team came home in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And what happened was, there were some people that were retained, 13 people that were held back going into Uganda because they were showing the Ebola signs. Six of them escaped and on foot crossed the border.
Oh, boy.
And two of them died right away, a grandmother and a son. And so they're bringing Ebola into Uganda. It's like, what are you doing? But they did that. And so it's scary stuff. And now with some of the, and this is a side note, but with some of the, and I don't want to scare people, but I'll give a non-scary statement after I say this one. But with some of the immigrants, they're now finding African immigrants coming across the border. I don't think that's one of our articles.
Well, let me get to the next article,
okay? I thought I read that on my own. Go ahead.
No, because Breitbart.com is reporting 350 Congolese migrants
From the Congo.
Arrive in San Antonio.
In San Antonio from the Congo, where this second largest in history Ebola outbreak is going on. 350. Listen to this. San Antonio officials scrambled this week to find French-speaking volunteers to help with hundreds of Congolese migrants arriving in the Alamo City. And I quote, "We didn't get a heads up," interim assistant city manager Dr. Colin Bridger told Ken 5 after a group of 350 migrants arrived in the city unexpectedly. "When we called Border Patrol to confirm, they said, yay, another 200 to 300 from the Congo and Angola will be coming to San Antonio." Bridger told the local CBS affiliate they're looking for volunteers who can speak French. "If you speak primary French and can come and spend 6, 7, 8 hours, that would be really helpful," Bridger explained. The city of San Antonio apparently expected to be able to move the Congolese migrants along to Portland, Maine. "When we reached out to Portland, Maine, they said, please don't send us anymore. We've already stretched way beyond our capacity," Bridger stated. Instead, the city is now attempting to locate other localities that will accept these migrants. South and Central African migrants began illegally crossing the South Texas border on May 30th when 117 migrants from the Republic of Congo, this is like Mexicans and Dominican, I mean, Mexicans and those that are in South America, this is Republic of Congo. They're traveling there to come into our border from that side. The Democratic Republic of Congo, Angola crossed in the Del Rio sector. By June 5th, more than 500 African migrants had crossed illegally in the single border patrol they reported. Here's the thing. Those that they had have not shown any signs. Let me read this last thing. It's the first group ever recorded in border patrol history solely from Central and South Africa. And I quote, "We've never seen that demographic in a large group of that size before crossing the border." So what's happening is the world knows now they can get in that way. They're flying from all over the world to Mexico, or traveling by boat or plane, coming up into our border in these massive droves. And the thing is, you think, okay, yeah, they're just trying to get in. They're trying to, you know, get a part of America and the resources and all that kind of stuff or whatever. But the bottom line is, these people are bringing with them diseases. We've seen diseases on the rise. We're seeing TB come back to America. And I'm not saying, this is not a statement saying that we're not to love people and we don't want them here. It's like, we have got to somehow monitor this and stop it and see who's healthy and then bring them in the right way, hence legal immigration. Otherwise, we're going to destroy ourselves. And when you see this kind of thing, one of the comments was, well, these guys have been monitored. They're not showing any of the signs of Ebola, and it's been long enough. That may be the case for this group.
Yeah, but what about the next one?
If that's 350 that were caught,
yes,
how many made it through that weren't caught, and what symptoms were they showing? Last thing we need in America is Ebola. They don't need Ebola over there. We're trying to eradicate it. But the last thing you want to do is transport it through our southern border right into our wives and children here in America. This is a very serious situation. We better wake up and get moving. And thank the Lord that we've got, you know, the president and others trying to do something, because this is a real deal that goes beyond politics. We're talking life and death stuff.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people, again, they tune it out because it's not happening in their town.
Yeah.
But if it was, well,
and you know,
it'd be a different story.
When they've got 350, they've got to take somewhere. Where are they going to take them?
And where are they going to take them?
Could be Tennessee.
I know. Our last article of the day is from the BBC. Speaking of things making a comeback, locusts have destroyed crops in the worst invasion in Sardinia in over 60 years.
Yeah. Yeah, they're packed in there like sardines, right? Is that where sardines, Sardinia? That's Sardinia. Not the
myth. No, I don't think so. I'm not going to give you a rim shot for that. So.
Okay. All right. Maybe a headshot. Okay. Bam. A huge plague of locusts is wreaking havoc on the Italian island of Sardinia in the worst insect invasion in more than 60 years, local media reported. Now, you might say, what does this have to do with Signs of the Times? Remember, you're going to see all types of environmental weirdness.
Plagues and pestilence.
Yes, bugs. I mean, everything else.
That'll cause famine, by the way.
That's right.
The locusts will.
Absolutely. And that's a thing that we need to discuss as well. When you see these kind of things, they all lead into other things.
They lead into other things. Yeah.
Large swarms are destroying crops and invading homes in Otana and Orani in the central province of Nuoro. Now, if I'm saying all these wrong and you're from there, you know, forgive me. I don't know how these are pronounced properly. But more than 2,000 hectares of farmland has been destroyed by blankets of insects, the report said. The locust invasion has been linked to a recent rise in temperature after months of cooler weather on the island. There are millions in the countryside, the Italian Farmers Associated Coldiretti warned in a statement on Monday. The locusts emerge on cultivated land, but then they go to uncultivated land to eat, the group said, adding that there was little that could now be done to remedy the situation. At least 12 farms have been affected, with animal grazing, pastures are ruined, and little left to harvest.
Yeah, that hurts the livestock as well.
There you go. Italy's La Stampa newspaper reported. Locusts usually appear on the Mediterranean island of Sardinia in the summer months between June and August. On the mainland, northern Italy is also battling a plague of brown, marmorated stink bugs, which are destroying swaths of fruit trees. Now, look at all the things. Look at all the things in this article.
Yeah.
You've got the locusts eating the current crops.
Yep.
You've got them stripping the land, which causes, again, further famine and erosion.
Yeah.
You've got the insects that are also destroying swaths of fruit trees, which, again, leads to other food. All of these things lead into each other to cause famine. And famine begins there. Then more food is needed somewhere else. We're having famine situations in America. Greg, these floods that just happened in Arkansas,
in
that
the
region,
Midwest, yes.
Destroyed farm after farm after farm. The bottom line is the Bible says in the last days you're going to see more of these famines and more of these type of things. And all these things kind of link into each other to create these things. So, again, keep your eye on this stuff. And this is an article we didn't have. But as you talk about plagues and stuff in the last days, you've been keeping up with what's going on in L.A. There's over 16,000 people they know of now that are living in the streets of L.A. Over 16,000.
Homeless.
Yeah, homeless.
Yep.
And because of the filth situations and all that's going on.
And the trash.
The disease is rampant.
Yeah,
they're getting fevers. They're getting typhoid. I think coming back or typhoid is a result of some of the stuff that's happening there. There was another disease they mentioned. I can't remember it now what it was. Maybe it was typhoid, but I think it was something else. Greg, they're even mentioning bubonic plague. They're saying they may get the plague in L.A. if something's not done. Now, what happens if the plague breaks out in L.A.? Think about that for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the rats there, they're linking it's the fleas or whatever that, yes, they're that the rats are transporting. That's the carrier.
Yeah. And so I just think, you know, what you talk about plagues and all these things in the last days. You remember, we're on a very, very balanced ecosystem worldwide and even disease system. And now that
a delicate balance.
Yeah. So when the environment gets out of balance in one area, it affects all these other areas. And because of world travel.
Yes.
When you get these diseases going, now you talk about Ebola transferring from Africa, from the Congo into Uganda.
That's how it spreads.
And now you see the Congolese now coming to America and getting here. And I'm not saying any of them brought in, this Ebola. But again, we don't know and we won't know until things begin to stick and take root. But there's stuff going on right now that, Greg, I believe is a direct result of not just the last days, but even the chastisement of God upon our nation. But the bottom line is it's going to be upon us before we know it. And, you know, it may even be time to kind of do an update on kind of what God says will be happening to a nation that turns away from him. We may be doing that soon on the radio broadcast, just so everybody knows what to expect. You know, this is what the Bible says is going to happen, and this is what we see happening. So very, very interesting. Disheartening if we didn't know the reality of the Lord coming back.
Yeah.
But because we know the Lord's coming back, because we know that the rapture is going to happen, this is not disheartening at all. And that's why, I feel sorry for people who don't believe in the rapture, because where's their hope? I mean, their hope pretty much is they know they're going to go through the great tribulation and then et cetera and all. But if you believe in what the Bible says, that the Lord will take the church out first, and what it talks about in Revelation, there's great encouragement and great hope in the midst of all that.
Well, let's get some of that with the 2 minutes that we have left, Pastor Mark, because a lot of the statistics are coming out regarding death by drugs, and they're calling it the death of despair, because a lot of people are committing suicide in various forms because they've lost hope.
Yeah. Yeah. More than 150,000 Americans died from alcohol and drug induced fatalities and suicide in 2017, which we're doing a suicide outreach here this summer. We'll talk more about on the radio later, but the number of deaths from alcohol and drugs and suicide hit the highest level since the collection of this type of federal mortality data started in 1999. The numbers are staggering. More than 150,000 Americans died. Nearly a third, 47,173, were suicides. It says these were all crises. They're unfolding in America. And the bottom line is it's a nation in despair. And, Greg, you know, this really goes in line with what, I guess, more of what Timothy talks about, or Paul when he wrote his letter to Timothy. In the last days, you're going to see all these people. There's going to be emotional effects as well.
Yes.
It's not just going to be, there's going to be anxiety. There's going to be all this. So you're going to be watching an increase in suicides, an increase in drug abuse, an increase in despair. This is all going to be happening because of what we're seeing around us. And again, if you look at what's happening in the world and you don't believe in Jesus, I can see why people would be leaning toward suicide. I can see people would be leaning toward drugs. No hope. But you know what? We offer hope today in Jesus Christ. And that's what really, I want to finish today's show with. Jesus Christ is your hope. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you're going, you know what, I've lost hope. I've considered suicide. I see what's happening in the world. And there's no hope. Look, don't put your hope and trust in this world. The Bible says this world is temporary. It is passing away. Our hope and our trust is in the eternal heaven that God has created for us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, God in human form, to die on the cross. And everyone who believes that Jesus died for him or her personally, you accept that he's your savior. He died for you, not just the sins of the world, but he died for you. And if you believe that and you confess your sin and you repent of your sin, the Bible says you will be born again, you will be saved, and you will go to heaven. And regardless of how bad your life seems now or how crazy the world looks now with everything falling apart, here's the bottom line. You have hope, and you don't just have hope now. You have eternal hope. The hope you have now is knowing God and his comfort and his peace and his help. The second hope you have is the rapture of the church, where God will take his church out of here before it gets really, really ugly down here. And the final hope is an eternal hope in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ forever because of what he's done for you on the cross. Look, if you don't know what to do, ask him to forgive you. Tell him you believe he died for you and his blood washes you clean and you'll be born again. That's the most important message we could give today.
Absolutely. It's an eternal hope for sure. Pastor Mark, thank you, and thank you for listening. Don't forget, thesigns.org for everything Signs of the Times related. You can listen to the previous shows. You can read the news articles. You can subscribe to our podcast and ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we will see you back here next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times.